Zos Chanukah, Wednesday the 12th of December, Gimel Teves, Rezunu Rebbe, Harav Shlomo Yosef Englard, Tzitzis, Kechelech, and Chanukah.
Bruchim Aboyim B'Shem Hashem. It's a great idea of the Torah way and all the initiators. It's a very great idea. It was worth coming to London just to learn about this great idea. We say every day in Krishna, everyone lines Krishna twice a day. We say among the parshas of Krishna, we mention the parsha of Tzitzis. Of course, every one of us wears the garments, the tzitzis, and the talis cotton and the talis gold. The question rises, what about the tchelis? The tchelis, which means the blue thread of the tzitzis, what about it? And why aren't we all mekayim? Why don't we fulfill this mitzvah of the blue thread in the tzitzis? Someone would assume that the mitzvah of tchelis is customary only in the times of the Beis HaMikdash, but that's of course unright, since just like the white tzitzis are customary during the Golus times, so the tchelis thread is also customary during the Golus times, as we see in the Gemara Menachos, that the custom of fulfilling the mitzvah of tcheles was customary even after the Beis HaMikdash. The Gemara mentions several Tanoim and Amroim that were way after the Beis HaMikdash, and they wore the tcheles of tzitzis. If you delve into the historical background of the mitzvah of tcheles and tzitzis, we could find out that the mitzvah of tcheles and tzitzis was customary about 500 years past the Beis HaMikdash destruction, which means that this was about 1,500 years ago, and this still was the customary, the mitzvah of the tchelis b'tzitzis. So what happened since then, and what about us today? Okay, so first, a short introduction. Of course, we know, everybody knows, that the mitzvah of tchelis b'tzitzis, first of all, what does tchelis mean? Tchelis means a blue thread. What about the exact color? What about the exact color of the tzitzis? We'll soon come back to it. Anyway, from what does the tcheles, tefil tcheles, the tcheles thread of the tzitzis, from what does it have to be derived? So, of course, we have, first of all, the Gemara in Menachos. So the Gemara in Menachos says, Tanu Rabbonon, chilozim ze, gufo idoy meliyam, its body resembles the sea, the briyosai, its shape is dorma ledak, the ole achas l'shivim shon. Anyway, so, first of all, we know, of course, that the tcheles dye must be derived. You can't just take whatever ink you have and use it to dye the tzitzit. You have to use a special specimen of snail, which is called chilozon, as described in the Gemara, and that, and only that, could serve as the source of the tcheles dye. Now, what does the chilozin look like? So the Gemara describes more or less what the chilozin looks like, as we just saw before. So what happened since the tcheles ceased to exist in Am Yisrael, and why did this happen? Of course, this is a topic you have to handle separately, but first let's skip and go further to what happened 120 years ago, in about this period of now, there was a great Rebbe that was named the Rezini Rebbe, Reb Gershon Chanoch Heinrich, Zecher Tzadik Likodesh Livroche. He was very famous. He was a huge goyim, a genius, and besides, he was a very talented person, because besides Torah, he was also a big expert in chemistry, in medicine, in many other fields that usually you can't find all these kind of fields in one person, no matter how big he should be. He came up 120 years ago and he started thinking about it. He raised the question, what about the tcheles today? First of all, the first question is, of course, as we have seen before, it is nothing that has any connection with the Beis HaMikdash, although the Kohanim, in their big kahuna, of course, used to wear the blue thread among their clothes, among their garments, but still it doesn't have anything to do with the Beis HaMikdash. So what? So what happened all of a sudden that the Tchela ceased to exist? So, in the first place, he came to the conclusion that as it looks, there is a possibility to renew the Tchela's Dai. But of course, if you're going to renew the Tchela's Dai, so then you have the problem. The problem raises immediately. What is the identification of the Chilazon? As have we have just mentioned before, the only source that could serve as source to dye the Tchelis ink is only the Chilazon. So what kind of Chilazon is it? We don't have any tradition about it since the Tchelis ceased to exist so many years ago, 1,500 years ago. And besides, once you do find the Chilazon, how is the dyeing procedure? Anyways, most probably this was the reason that the Tchelis disappeared during so many years, as we could read in the Rambam in Perush HaMishnayos to Maseches Menachot. The Rambam says as follows. V'achut hazeh nikra techeles, this thread is called techeles, sh'nema v'nosnu al tzitzis hakonof pesut techeles. Now, v'eino nimtza b'yadeinu hayom, we don't have this techeles today, it means now, in our period. L'fish eino niyodim l'tzavoy. We don't know how to derive, how to do this dying procedure, which is necessary to the techeles. She'ein kol min techeles b'tzem en nikra techeles. Not every kind of techeles you use, not every blue garment, not every blue dye could serve as source for dyeing the techeles. Ela techeles yedua, it's like a special techeles she'ia shalachos hayoyim, that we can't make it today, we can't produce it today. Va'al kein anu oisim b'lovim levadoi, and therefore. We're making the tchelis only with the white thread, and we're lacking the blue thread of the tchelis. We can see a completion in the Rambam. This is what we cited before, is from the Pirush HaMishnayot, and we can see a completion in the Rambam in Hilchos Tzitzis. Hilchos Perek Sheni, the second chapter of Hilchos Tzitzis. The Rambam says as follows: Tchelis hamuro b'toyer b'chol mokim, the tchelis which is mentioned in the Torah every place, the atzema atzavua kipsach shiv koichal, it's blue dyed. The zohid musar kiyah gives a description that it's similar. It resembles the heaven. Haniras le'ei b'taroi shiv kiyah, which means when the sky is clean, and it's a nice day. Now the atcheles amur betzitzis. The techeles, which is mentioned in tzitzis, tzorich shetiyeh tzviyoso tzviyo yedua, it must be special coloring, special dye, she'omedes biyofi of lois hashtane. It should be such a fast dye that it shouldn't fade. It's like a fast dye that doesn't fade and it holds for long time. V'chol shelo nitzba bois hatzviyeh, as long as it is dyed in this special dyeing procedure, posel tzitzis, no matter if it's the same dye, it's the same color, like in the at the end you get the same color, it looks just exactly like the real techeles, still it isn't kosher. Kigon shetzovei beistis or b'sharam shchirin, that he used any kind of dye products derived out of herbal sources, or harei v'posulatitis. Now, the Rambam continues and says as follows: Keita tovi techeles betzitzis. How do you dye the techeles in tzitzis? Loikhim atzema. Anyways, we'll skip a couple of lines here, and then you take the achakach mevir chidam chilazon. Now he comes to explain the dye procedure. So you have to bring a dam, the blood of the creature, the sea creature named chilazon. V'hu dag, it's a fish. Shadoi me'ena le'ena yom. It looks like the sea. V'domoy shachot kedyoy, which means its blood is black. We would assume, of course, that since you gotta get the dye, the blue dye out of the blood, so you would assume, of course, everybody of us, that the blood is a blue nature, but it is not. The Rambam, it says in the Rambam that the domoy, the blood is black, just like ink. Usually ink is black. And then later he gives a whole description how does the dyeing procedure come forth. Anyways, so what we get out of all this is that we're looking for some kind of fish that is called the chelis and the lozon, and this fish has special features, like the shape is a unique fish shape, and it resembles the sea, and it has black ink, like a black blood, just resembling ink, and that's what we're looking for. Otherwise, besides that, we have no descriptions. So now, there are thousands of creatures living in the sea, and how would you know after a pause of something like 1,500 years, and with a lack of tradition, how would we know to dye the tchelis today to this time? But not someone like the Reb Gershon Chanoch, the Radin Rebbe, would give up and raise hands. He was gifted with a special, stubborn nature. He was a strong character, and he didn't let go. And he decided that he would and he must find the tchelis, the chilozin, which served as source. Anyways, what did he do? First of all, his first step was to gather all the simonim, all the signs, all the descriptions that describe the chilozin, not only from the Gemara that we just mentioned and from the Rambam, those are the main sources, but also, since he was a goyim, he was a huge Torah personality, was of one of the leading Torah personalities in his period. So he gathered from all around the Shas, Bavli, Yerushalmi, Sifri, Tosefta, and everywhere there's some mention, even a brief mention of the Chilozin, and he gathered together no less than 19 simonim, which means signs, features of how the chilozin of the time of the Tanoim and Amoraim should have looked like, in order to be able to start research, start searching for this type of sea creature. By the time he got all this together, he published a book, published a sefer, which is called Sehunei Tumunei Choyla. As you can see here, this is the book which the Balat Chelis published. It includes three books. The first one is named Sefune Tmune Chol, since Rashi in Parshas Vezois HaBroche, Rashi mentions that the chilozin, the snail, has a special, unique feature that it digs himself in the sand, deep in the sand of the sea. So anyways, he published this book, and once he gave out this book, he said that we're looking for the tchelis and the chilozin. It was a huge sensation. It was like just a bomb exploded, and the whole of Poland and Lithuania was discussing the gewaltige thing of the tchelis. But even though he didn't finish yet, he just started off with his holy task. So let me tell you what he did. He let himself out. He let himself out to a trip, to an adventurous trip, to Naples in Italy. One should take in consideration that in those times, for 120 years ago, to travel along the world wasn't as like, we didn't have the transportation means just like today. There was no planes, and I doubt if there was even trains around. And we should also take in consideration that we're talking about a Rebbe of Chassidim, and the Rebbes of Chassidim usually didn't budge without a whole what's it called, the whole party around them, and take a ganze pamalia shemalu with them, and he didn't like this, and all he took with himself, he took one single person, and he went out to this adventurous journey to Naples and Italy. Now, why did he leave to Italy? That is because in Naples, I don't know if it still exists today, but at least at those times, 120 years ago, there was such kind of thing. It was like an undersea aquarium, I don't know how you would call it today. That means that it wasn't an aquarium that closes the fish from all sides, but it was an undersea aquarium that you go down below the level of the sea, and there was a great huge windows where you can observe and watch the fish floating back and forth, and you could sit there how long you please. And that's that kind of aquarium was in those times in Naples and Italy, with thousands of sea creatures. So he went out to this trip and reached Naples in Italy, and he spent a couple of weeks. He cut off his precious time that was Kodesh L'Torah V'Avoyde to renew this great mitzvah of the Torah, and he observed thousands of sea creatures until finally, after observing a couple of weeks, he comes to the conclusion that a specific specimen, a specific sort kind of fish, this fits, and it fits and matches all the simonim that the Chazal, that the Gemara, that the Rambam, that everybody mentions about this kind of fish. And what is the name of the fish? It has a couple of names. Scientific name is Sepia officinalis. I suppose that no one, name says nothing to any of the crowd. And, okay, yes. And the popular name is cuttlefish, or some call it inkfish. And he decided that this is the only kind of fish that meets all the criteria, all the characters and the features that this kind of fish has. Now, what did he find in this fish, first in brief? So first of all, one word about the fish, about this special fish. It's a special fish, special sea creature. It's called the cuttlefish or inkfish. Now, this fish, besides its natural blood that Rabbeinu Shleilim gave him, besides that, it has under its stomach, it has a special sacket which secretes a special liquid, fluid, black fluid. This meets the criteria which the Rambam just mentioned, that domo yishochek yoy, which means it has black ink. Now, what is this special fluid serve for? If this fish has had a special character that if it's attacked or it's threatened through other sea creatures, which of course attack and swallow one each other, so what it does is it has a special funnel that through this funnel it shoots out the black ink, and then it creates a cloud which blurs the water. Then the enemy, the attacker, suddenly blinds off and he doesn't find his way back in or out. In the meantime, this fish just shoots out of sight, and then this is what the Rabbeinu Shlomo created special self-defense for this fish. This is the feature of this fish. Now, on its back, it wears like a shell-like piece of type of hard rock on its back, wearing it's in a certain aspect that resembles the known shell of the turtle, rather than the shell of what we call today, usually popularly known as the snail. And that's actually what makes it for a chilazon. Since it has this shell-like thing on its back, and it has the black ink, which the Rambam mentions, and besides that, it also has the characters which the Gemara just mentioned. How come? The Gemara first mentions Gufo Domeliyam, which means that its body resembles the sea. Now, how does the sea look like, and what is, in what means does it resemble the sea? So, this kind of sea creature, called the cuttlefish, it has also, the Rebbein Shlom gifted it with a special ability to make camouflage. It means it changes colors constantly. Also, most probably for self-defense means, in order to confuse the enemy or the attacker. But even though it changes colors constantly, but still there's always a blue glow. A blue glow comes out of its body, and although it changes for this color and that color, but you always notice a blue glow in the color of the fish, of the cuttlefish. So that would mean gufo domiliyam, which means it resembles the sea. In another mean, it resembles the sea. As known, the Gemara in the beginning of Baba Basra, the Gemara describes how Herod the Great, Herod HaMelech, as we call him, as to how he built the second temple, the Beis HaMikdash, when he renovated it. How did he build it? What kind of stones did he use? So the Gemara says that he used special marble stones that resembled, it was like something like blue, but it looked like the waves. It was also going back and forth like the waves. It says that the Tanoim, the Gemara says that the Chachomim in that time, they didn't want Herod to build the Beis Mikdash in such a manner, and some of the Chachomim had a snagdus to that. But then finally they said that leave it as it is, it should be just the way he built it, because it looks like the waves of the sea. So what? It looks like the wave of the sea. The Gemara says, why was the Techeles dye, why was the Techeles color chosen through the Ribbono Shel Olam among all other colors? Why didn't the Ribbono Shel Olam, of course we don't know what's lying in the base of each Torah commandment, since the mitzvahs are a holy heaven thing. But still, sometimes the Chazal gives us some type of explanation. Why did the Torah, why did the Ribbono Shel Olam choose out of all thousands of colors we have in nature, just the blue Techeles color, in order to serve as the Techeles, the one thread that we dye in the tzitzit? Why don't we wear something, the red thread or a green thread or whatever? So the Gemara says, Amar Rav Meir, Manish Tanya Techeles Mekol Minei Tzivonim, Elo, says the Gemara, She Techeles Dome LeYam, resembles the sea, and Yam Dome LeRakia, the Yam resembles the sky, and the sky, of course, reminds us of the Kisei HaKavod, as it says in the Parashas Mishpotim, Kelivna Sasapir, sapphire is glue. Anyway, in other words, the color, the special unique color which was chosen through the Ribbono Shel Olam for the tzitzis of Techeles was Techeles, in order that one looks at his tzitzis, so then he reminds himself that there is a Ribbono Shel Olam on it. So that's how the Techeles resembles the Yam. Now, let's continue. Briosa demiladat, it has a shape like a fish. Now, someone that, you don't have to be a marine expert to know that there's thousands of fish, and each fish has different shapes. So how could you just give us such a character that it resembles, its shape is like a fish? So the Baal HaTecheles, he handles this problem, and he comes to a conclusion that when the Gemara says that demiladat, it means to say that it has fins. We know that a kosher fish has to have scales and fins, and this fish has fins, and he explains it in the broth. And this this cuttlefish, as a matter of fact, does have fins. And now we come to a very great obstacle that almost blocks the way to continue. The Gemara finishes the description and says that it's all echos l'shivim shana, that this fish comes out of sea once in a blue moon. Of course, it's blue, so maybe this would remind ourselves of Techeles. I don't know. I never saw a blue moon. Anyway, but the Gemara says that it's all echos l'shivim shana, once in 70 years. Now we don't have the calculation exactly when was the last time that the sea throughout of this kind of chilognetish. So would that mean that since we don't know the exact calculation, how to figure out the time when the fish goes out of sea, so that would mean actually, as a matter of fact, so we can't continue. We're on a dead end. That's really one of the main and the first problems that the Baal HaTechelis have to cope with in order to go further. So the Baal HaTechelis comes to a conclusion and he brings proof that what the Gemara says, that it's Ola Achas HaShiv Nishona, doesn't mean to say that only once in 70 years this fish is extant and enduring the all 70 years, which never no one knows exactly when this is. There is no such kind of fish around whatsoever. Where does the Baal HaTechelis? He brings proof from the Gemara Shabbos. The Gemara Shabbos says that when there was the destruction of the first temple of the Churban by Srishoin, so Nebuchadnezzar had his war minister Nebuzaradan, and he left them over with a couple of Jewish people in Eretz Yisrael, although he led the rest of the Jews to exile, to Golis, but still a group of people, they got the special privilege to be left in Eretz Yisrael, in Eretz HaKodesh. Why? Because U'miktzas midala sa'om hishin v'uzaradon le'koymin v'le'yoygvin. He need them as professionals. For what? So the Gemara says that le'yoygvin elu tayode chilazon, which means fishermen that would capture the chilazon. Why did the Nebuzaradan and Nebuchadnezzar, why did he need Techeles? Was Nebuchadnezzar wearing tzitzis? Of course not. But he did need it, since it's important to know that the Techeles guy, besides what it serves for us as tzitzis in the Talis, the Goyish, the Gentile world, in the ancient world, it was used very intensive for the nobility, the head class, the high class of the government officials, in order to express their importance, in order to express their higher class, they used to dye their clothes with this special Techeles dye. Since the Techeles dye is very expensive, it's just like today someone who's a very rich man who would use a Rolls Royce or a Cadillac. So this was like some type of expression to show how important, to which high ranking officials he belongs. So that's why he left them, those kind of fishermen, in order to capture the chilazon, and they were the professionals, since they used to supply the Techeles for all of the Klal Yisrael during the time of the Beis HaMikdash. Now, someone should make a try to figure out, if the Techeles is only around only once in 70 years, and otherwise it's not extant, and you can't find them. So, would Nebuzaradan leave special professional fishermen to just sit and wait by the shore of the sea in order to observe and to just catch the exact moment of the 70 years? So what would we say, that this Churban Bayis Rishon was just exactly once in 70 years? And besides, if you use special professional fishermen, we heard of some professionals that work, their work is for summertime, vacation, they make bungalows or whatever, or there's other professionals that do other things once in a certain period of the year, but we never heard of someone that is going to make himself a professional for once in 70 years, when of course nobody knows when it is, and nobody knows if he's going to overlive to that period. So of course this is concrete proof that what the Gemara means to say, Ola Achas HaShiv Nishona, doesn't mean to say that during the 70 years it is vanished, disappeared completely whatsoever. It only means to say, says the Baal HaTechelis, that once in 70 years, which means to say that during the 70 years it's difficult to capture the fish, since this fish has special characters. It digs itself into the sand of the sea, and as we have mentioned earlier, it has this special ink that once he feels threatened through any attacker whatsoever, he shoots out this ink and gets rid of it, and then Moshe Zichmech, as you say, and then you can't find him. So that's why it was a special task that needed special professionals in order to be capable of capturing this sea creature. But once in 70 years is once upon a time, it comes out a huge amount. It's just like the sea spits at me, throws them out in huge amounts, and then all you have to do is you don't have to capture them. You just take them and you just put it in. You can load it into a bag and take them home. So that's what the Gemara points out, that this is the special character of the fish. Anyways, what happened is... Chengazik? Okay. Okay. Okay, so, okay, we're going to finish, okay. We're not going to let you wait 70 years. Okay. So, we're going to finish. He came back to Poland, and he brought along this sea creature, and he put out a book that he found this, and this is Gevon Gewaldig, it became a Gewaldig his Iris, and about a year later in Hanukkah time, we're just now in Hanukkah time, about a year later in Hanukkah time, 1889, which means 190 years ago, he put up this dyeing process, which also wasn't easy, but he was an expert in many fields, like in chemistry too, so he finally found out how to do it. And then he came out with this great thing that everybody could wear tchelis. Now, what happened suddenly is that he thought that everybody is going to be so enthusiastic about it, and all the gedolim and all the people are going to they're going to accept this kind of tchelis, and everybody is going to go wear it. He didn't do it for money, for profit, of course, but he was sure that although it's going to take time to persuade each one, but still there's going to be a nice Kabbalah spawning for this mitzvah, this forgotten, lost mitzvah for 1,500 years. But what happened is that not everyone accepted it, and there was an isnagdus. Why was there isnagdus? Of course, there's no time, so we're going to have to make it short and skip years of information. And what really happened is that, as we know, in by Yidden, everything is like traditional. We don't move out of the tradition. That's why not every generation someone come out with a new invention, a new adventure that we have now, the Eifa Paradume, and the other one will say that we have we found the Beis HaMikdash and the Kohen Gadol. So we have our tradition, and that's Baruch Hashem, that's what actually holds up and holds together the Jewish nation, because otherwise we wouldn't have one nation, we would have thousands of nations. So that's why, even though we're now discussing a mitzvah, that everybody should be happy with the possibility to do the mitzvah, so that's why there was many that were misnagged, and we would say they weren't misnagged, they didn't reject it totally. All they did is they took a passive, and they sat on the side. Of course, he tried to persuade as much as he can, but he put out additional book named Einat Chelis. But then, after 2-3 years, he passed away. As he was a young man, he was only 52 years old, and after writing so many books of. Tyrus and Goinish Zachen Chassidus and Tyre and everything. And by the way, tonight is his Yahrzeit. This is his anniversary. It's Dalet Tevis, just tonight. This is his Yahrzeit. He passed away in Tov Reish Nun Aleph, which is 1891, or it was 1890. And this is tonight. So this Techelis passed over from one generation to another. As we mentioned, it started 119 years ago. Then later his predecessor, the Memale Mokim, the one his son, the Motche Yosef, the Teferis Yosef, which was my father's father-in-law in Poland. And anyway, he continued this tradition of Techelis, just like the Balat Techelis. Later came his grandson, Reb Shmuel Shloime HaKodesh, Hagoyin HaKodesh, Zecher Tzadik Livracha, which perished in the Holocaust. Now, we were standing for a great problem. How can we set forth with this Techelis dye, since we don't know exactly the dyeing procedure, since the Rebbe knew the dyeing procedure, and we don't have it today. So it was almost just as if it would disappear again and go away again for the Balat Techelis to come down. This is impossible. So what happened is that the Rebbeinu Shloim sent us a special gilui this continent there was Rav Hertog. He was the Rav of Ireland, and he, in his youth, he was very, very tremendously interested in this topic of dying techeles and also in argaman and all these kind of things. So he, as a matter of fact, he studied this thing, and he put out a dissertation, which a doctoral dissertation, which was written in seven languages, and he wrote to the Rabzin to know how you die this techeles, and he got he got a response, exact description how you die this techeles. Now, Rav Hertog left to Israel, Eretz Yisrael, and then later he passed away, and we just got to know that this letter is still in his possession. And after many adventurous things, we got hold of this letter, and according to this letter, we renewed, Baruch Hashem, the Inyan of Techeles with Tzitzit. Is actually how the Bala Techeles used to dye it, and today the Techeles is dyed and it's widespread. We have here someone of our people that came along to, with us from Eretz Yisrael. He's one of the people that is the expert in Techeles. He says that 20,000 people, like 20,000 or 30,000 sets of Techeles are sold each year. And if someone wants to see how it looks like, here is the site. These are the Techeles. The Techeles thread is one thread among eight, and besides, we use it to as a shamus too. To this is the Techeles. One thread among eight is a pseud Techeles. Although there are opinions in the Rishonim, others say two or four. But the Bala Techeles adopted the Shita of Rambam that says it's one out of eight. Okay? So now, although not all people yet wear Techeles, and of course there's many traditions and so further, but we hope in Yet Hashem, since it's now Chanukah and it's the Yortzeit, and of course we hope we're drawing close to Mashiach's coming, so we hope in Yet Hashem that Mashiach will come in Harvey Yameinu, the Beis HaMikdash at Gebäudefeuer with the Big Vikrune, and everything will return to full scale. Hey, the health and all of the bench, the dashness, the brochnias, brochers, vatsloches, and spoils to you. And again, appreciation of the gewaldige idea. And I apologize for anyone since I tore the dead line. But I didn't hear the chalice. That's amazing.